Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion with Covenant Church and Pastor Logan. It's great to be together again to open up the Word this afternoon. I hope you've got your coffee ready to go so you can sit back and enjoy your afternoon tea while reading some of God's Word and being fed by Him as well. Well, it's very wonderful to be together, and before we turn to the Word, let's just come before God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we're able to gather around your word like this. We thank you for the technology and the creative minds that you have given humans as you've made them in your image, the Creator God. And Lord, we just give thanks to you for the many people who have created things that we have the joy of using right now and using for your gospel and for your glory. Lord, we pray that as we close out this day and prepare for our day of rest tomorrow, that you would help us to begin to settle our minds upon you, and that as we through the internet connect in with different church communities and different church services around the planet, that your name would be glorified and your church would be built up and your people would be gathered together. Lord, would you help us to enjoy the Sabbath rest that you've given us, even if it is in a new and different way right now. Encourage our hearts this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you want to open up your Bibles this afternoon, we're turning back to the book of James. If this is the first time you've connected in with us, we've just finished going through Lamentations recently, and we're turning to the book of James, and we're just about to enter our third devotion in the first chapter. So if you want to open up to James chapter 1, I'd encourage you, if you do have your Bibles available, to use your Bibles, but I'm putting it up on the screen, especially for those who might not have a Bible available to them or who are checking in maybe remotely on their phone or something like that. But if you do have a Bible, it's good to have one open. Well, we're going to be considering this afternoon just verses 9 through to 11, but in order for us to understand what's been going on in the chapter, we'll read through from verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. So far the reading of God's word. Well, we were commanded by God through James in this letter to count it joy when we suffer trials and difficulties and hardships and burdens. When difficulties arise, we were to count that as joy because of what God was doing. And we saw yesterday that James told the readers of the letter, in order to do that, that they're going to need wisdom and that they should ask God for wisdom. And I wonder if you sort of see the connection into these next verses, or maybe you find them a bit odd. Like, is there a disconnect here? Do 1 and 8 go together, but does James start a new section in verse 9? Well, I'd like to suggest that really they're connected in a way. Maybe not super connected, and I don't think I'd be willing to bet that James most definitely wanted these to be counted together, but I think there is a loose connection here between verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, and verse 9 and 10 and 11. And the reason I say that is that when difficulties come, when troubles fall upon us, we can be tempted to fall into certain responses. So for the rich person, when times of difficulties come, they can be tempted to fall into trusting in their riches. They can be tempted to fall into believing they're going to be okay because they can sort it out. You know the type of attitude I'm thinking of. When the trouble strikes, the rich person can be tempted to run out and stockpile, can run out and save, to be very careful and very cunning and very planning, and not really express any trust, not sort of fall back into trust, but rather to rely upon their riches, rely upon their position in society. And I don't think it's just money. You know, for some people, it'll be the ability to rely upon their name and their honor. Maybe they can get an easier way of life in certain situations just because of who they are. But this isn't just a rich person reality. The poor people, or the people of a lower estate, the word for poor and rich here is the idea of an upper and lower class person. So the upper class can be tempted to rely upon themselves, to not really need to trust anyone. Whereas the lower state person, I think, can be tempted to give in to despair when difficulties strike. They can be tempted to not trust God, but rather just wring their hands and complain and murmur and be frustrated and have no joy. And in both those cases, whether the lower state or the higher state, there won't be true joy in God. There'll be an unhealthy attitude instead. And so I think what James is doing is recognizing the reality of the human heart as he commands joy. And so he follows that command up with this section here on humility and on boasting and on lowliness and exaltedness. So let's have a look at what James is doing here. You see, James is correcting both attitudes. He's correcting the poor who attempted to despair and grumbling, and he also is correcting the rich who attempted to rely upon themselves and think more of themselves than they should. You see, the poor man is reminded by James that he has been made rich. Verse 9, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. The lowly brother, James says, is actually not lowly, but has been exalted, has been made high. And the rich is to boast in his humiliation. And so James says that the poor and the lowly have been lifted up, and the high and the impressive of the world have been brought low. Now he's speaking to believers here on both sides. He's not speaking to the sort of lowly believers and the rich worldly people, and he's making them even. He's talking about lowly in the world's eyes believers and exalted in the world's eyes believers. And he's saying he's taken the both, and he's brought them together. In a sense, James says an equalization has happened. And what's he talking about? How can he say that the poor person has been exalted? Because he's clearly not talking in the world's eyes, is he? He's not saying, you know, poor people, be of good cheer, because actually you're rich and you're going to be getting money. So what's he saying? Is he saying, you know, rich people, watch out, because you're going to lose it all? Or is he talking about something different? I think what he's talking about is their position in Christ. You see, one of the things with the letter of James is we have to remember it's written to believers, it's written to Christians, and so there's a lot of things which I think he leaves unsaid because he assumes they know. You know, it's a little bit like when you write a letter to a friend or an email to a friend. There's a lot of stuff you leave out because you don't need to say it, do you? Because as you say something, they know the backstory. And you know what they think. And they know what you think. And so there's a lot of communication which is implicit rather than expressly stated. And what I think's going on here is James is explicitly stating that this equalization is happening, but he's leaving out, he's implying what has caused it because he knows and the reader knows what has been the cause of this humiliation and this exaltation. What is it? Well, Galatians 3:28, very, very well-known passage for many of you, I'm sure, says this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, in Paul's day and in our day, is there no such thing as a Jew or a Greek? Well, of course there is. Is there no such thing as a slave or a free? Well, of course there are those things. Is there no such thing as male or female? Of course there is. All those categories still exist. So what was Paul saying? Paul's saying that in Christ Jesus, those worldly categories stand for nothing. Because in Christ, you all have equal standing. And so James is saying to the poor person who's given over to despise himself and his situation, and to the rich person who's given over to trusting in himself and exalting in himself, he's saying, boast not in your situation, but boast in the Lord. Boast in who you are in Christ. That great equalizing factor which has lifted up the lowly and the despised things of this world, and brought down the exalted, and made everyone one together in Jesus. And therefore, instead of boasting in our high estate, instead of being full of misery in our lowly estate, or even boasting in our low estate, as can happen, what do we boast in instead? Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24, it says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, the Lord says. You see, the boasting and the trust and the security and the thing which enables us to have joy in difficulties is not our high estate, is not our low estate, but our position in Christ. And it's interesting where James goes with this, because I think it really helps us to get a grasp on just how important it is that we see ourselves and our life and everything that we've got in the right perspective. He continues to unpack the rich side of things, I think for a wise reason. It's easier to correct a low estate person by lifting them up to Christ than it is to correct a high estate person and bring them down. To humble them is a lot more challenging. And so James, with this wisdom, says, like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. What's James getting at? James is getting at the fact that the things of this world will fade away. You know, we sing it, don't we? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And as you do, the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious face. And the idea James is pulling in, what James is trying to stress to the rich, but it's equally relevant to the low of estate. What he's trying to stress is the fact that we need not despair because of our low estate, and we need to trust God in our higher estate. We need to be humbled or exalted, brought to the plane of Christ, because the things of this world really mean nothing. What really matters is Christ. It's a coronavirus comes, your job disappears, your business folds, your mortgage camps out, your family gets sick, old age kicks in, you don't know how you're going to pay the next bill, you're managing to get by just fine, you've got plenty of money in the bank, you've got some strings you can pull. All of those things count for nothing. Whether of low estate or high estate, it's nothing to boast in. Rather, we boast in what Christ has made us. Sons and daughters of God. Because that lasts for eternity. Because after all, as Philippians tells us, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Or 1 Peter 5, and when that chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So whether you're of low estate, and God says you will be lifted up in Christ, or whether you're high estate, and the Lord says you will be brought low in Christ, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Boast in this, friends, family. Boast in this. This is something worth boasting in because it lasts forever. This world's got nothing on it. We've got no need to worry. We've got no need to fret. We've got no need to boast in ourselves. I mean, who are we to boast in ourselves, whether we're poor or rich? We've got nothing to boast in because everything fades away. But Paul says, I will boast in Jesus Christ. Will you? Will you lend your boasting to Christ and Christ alone, rather than to this fading world? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we will receive indeed an unfading crown of glory if we have been either exalted or humbled in Christ. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to find joy in trials, and that we would find that by coming to Jesus. Thank you for the wisdom of James, the way he fills us with hope and assurance. We pray that your Spirit would bless your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining back together with us again this week. It's been great getting into the book of James. There'll be no devotion tomorrow, but we will be having our normal two church services at 10 o'clock in the morning, New Zealand time, and then 7 o'clock in the evening as well. I'd encourage you to come and join us for that as we sing some songs together and open up the Word. Also, if you're looking for a place of fellowship, it would be Great to have you come and join us. We set up a Zoom channel, so it's always great to get together and chat. And I think last time people were showing off their homemade bread. That seems to be one of the things at this time at this time of the world's history. All of a sudden, homemade bread is a thing to do. But either way, it'd be great to see you all next week back here when we come together again on Tuesday. The Lord's richest blessings. Bye.
No list of sins I have not done, no list of virtues I pursue, no list of those I am not like, can earn myself a place with you.